God, for the blood. The song says it soothes my doubts, calms my fears. Is that how it goes, the verse? Close enough. It does everything. Everything you have need of is the blood. Amen. At this time, we're going to dismiss our children to children's church. If you're not on the text list, if you haven't received a text for the bulletin for the month of January, please. Here's what happened to me. I had about 1,987 numbers in my phone. And I got a new phone. And I didn't have my Apple ID correctly connected. And it would have been a complete and total catastrophic event if I did not have an app on my phone that had everybody's number in it. So I've been slowly transferring all the numbers over one at a time. And it was almost 2,000 numbers. So I started with the church, but if you did not get a bulletin and you normally get a bulletin, it's not because I did that intentionally. It's because something's going on with my phone and we're trying to work this out. I wasn't connected all those years I was putting numbers in my phone. I was not correctly connected to the Apple ID. Let that be a lesson to you. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. Remember, East Texas Youth Conference is going to be February, I believe it's the 9th, 10th, and 11th. And it's coming upon us very quickly. And if you'll remember last year, we had about 650 on a Friday night. Typically, these things grow every year. And that means we're almost at complete and total max capacity. We need to enlarge the sanctuary. And we were going to go back. We still plan on doing that. And, you know, for years, every time the Lord would just make a way where we could enlarge something, certain people, you know, would say, oh, are you sure? And then those same people who were kind of hesitant before says to me, well, why would we just enlarge the sanctuary? Why don't we just build a new one on this property over here? I about panicked when they said that. But you never know what the Lord's going to do in time. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 in verse number 7. One verse of scripture. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to gather in this sanctuary. We do not take it lightly, Lord, that the Spirit of God is in operation among these people. Lord, we ask you that we would receive everything that you would have for us this morning. I'm asking you, Lord, let me become an oracle of God this morning to speak only what you'd have me to speak. I pray that you would penetrate hearts and lives with the living Word of God. I pray for the Holy Ghost anointing that makes preaching effective. Let it rest upon these lips of clay this morning and every ear that we can hear what the Spirit would say in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning on unlocking the chokehold of fear. Every Christian, under the sound of my voice, either in this sanctuary or those watching by Facebook, you will face and fight the spirit of fear at some point in time in your life. Many of us fight it every day because we're faced with impossible situations. The devil wants to bring fear upon you, ladies and gentlemen. Make no mistake about it. But my Bible said God didn't give you that spirit of fear. It came from the pit of hell. Whenever your mind's flooded with all of the questions of what if, and what if this happens, and what if that happens, and fear gets a hold of your heart, I can tell you where it came from. It came from the bottomless pit of of hell, and God wants it to be eradicated out of our life. We are people of faith today, and I'm going to help somebody. I believe you're going to get help today. You're going to unlock that chokehold of fear, and you're going to operate in faith unlike you have ever operated before. When you and I face fear, one of two things are going to take place every time. Number one, you will either conquer fear, or number two, fear will conquer you. You and I have got to get the upper advantage over that spirit. Listen, I've said this many times, the devil cannot read your mind. Yes, he can place thoughts in your mind. He can tempt you, but he doesn't know what you're thinking. He only watches your actions, listens to your words, so he don't know what's going on in that mind. Listen, there are times he don't know what you're thinking, so what you must do, you must lift up your voice and rebuke the devil. Oh, come on. James says if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. Some of you need to get your resisting on and start resisting the power of hell. Lift up your voice and tell the devil where to go, where it came from, for we are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. I can remember when I was just a child. When the lights went out, the fear came on. Amen. Anyone else remember struggling with the spirit of fear? You know, I can remember, especially my children, whenever nighttime came, when the dark came, I'm telling you, the boogeyman just seemed to be corner. Of course, when I was a kid, I never had these type of silly fears like they did. Mine were perfectly reasonable. For example, I knew once you got in bed, you should never leave your hand or foot dangling off the edge. You remember that? There's no sure way to be dragged away by evil creatures and hid in some location. Oh, come on. We know it's funny because we've all struggled with those things. But I can tell you there's some adult fears that we've been struggling with that we don't have to give heed to. God has given us power over all the powers of the enemy, and it's time that we take those thoughts and cast them down. It's time that we lift our voice and take authority over the devil. Listen, as a believer, you have authority. Hear me today. I said you have authority over the devil. Oh, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, but we've got to use that authority. You can have all the authority in the world, but if you don't use that authority, it doesn't amount to anything. It's time to use, as a child of God, what God has given us, and we have power over the enemy. Hear me today. We've got to take that thing captive. Take those thoughts captive. We as adults today, we can laugh at those childhood fears, but what about the fears that overtake us today? What about those things? The fear of losing our job and losing everything that we own. What about getting sick to the point where we lose our life? Or what about the fear of running out of money and being on the mercy of others? What about the fear of getting a divorce or the fear of a child dying? I'm telling you, all kinds of thoughts can constantly flood our mind. Listen, I'm not saying that I don't struggle with fear, because I have to come against that spirit that constantly comes upon me. But I can tell you this, I know that God has everything in the palm of his hand. I know that he loves me, and I know that God he will not allow the devil to do anything that he doesn't want him to do. God loves me and God loves you, and we must keep ourselves in his will and in the love of God, and we need not fear anything. Come on this morning, I'm telling you, we've been overcome with anxiety until that's all that we go through. We're just anxious and fearful over everything. Let me tell you what fear does. Fear poisons us a little each day. If we don't face it head on and nullify its power, it starts doing a slow work of poisoning us. It takes away our peace. It removes our joy. Listen, whenever you and I are operating fear, faith is not in operation. Are you with me today? I'm saying fear and faith cannot be in operation at the same time. You read the Word of God, you can find many, many stories. All throughout the New Testament and the Old, it's dealing with faith. Faith, believing God. What is faith? What is the definition of faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, but faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you can see it, if you have to know all the details, faith is not involved in that thing. But listen, we stand on the Word of God, things we haven't seen, things we do not know yet, but we know the God who's promised the yet. Are you with me? So what am I saying? I'm saying faith has to trust God no matter what we're going through. He says in 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you want to please God today, if you want to be close to God, if you want to be in that place where you can have your prayers answered, you've got to operate in faith, and you have to unlock that chokehold of fear. Some of you are suffocating because that chokehold of fear is tightening on you daily. You're bound by the thoughts of what if this happened. And what if that happened? We've got to get rid of these things. Listen, they say when you're born, we only have two natural fears we're born with. The fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. That means every other fear is a learned fear. Are you with me? I said the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises is the fear that you're born with. Every other fear is a learned fear. Listen, like a pack on our back that accumulates into a burden the size of a dumpster, our fears weigh us down and prevent us from traveling through life with speed and grace. And some of you today have been weighted down with that pack. You feel like you don't know what you're going to do because all you can think about is what's going to face you tomorrow, our next month, or next year. I'm here today to tell you that God will give you the desire of your heart, but you've got to trust Him. You've got to put your confidence not in man's ability, not what people do around you, but what God said in His Word, and knowing that God's a good God. He is my Heavenly Father who cares more about me. Oh, listen, He cares more about you. Fear not tomorrow, for God holds in His hand our future. Generally, most of adult fears fall into one of four categories. I'm going to go over these categories very quickly. And you think about it. Number one, fear of loss. One of the categories is we're so afraid of losing things. One of our basic human fears. The fear of loss comes in many forms. If you're married, thoughts of losing your spouse may prey upon your mind. Almost every parent deals with the thought of fear of losing their child. Whenever your child starts to drive and you know, it's just that way. Whenever they get their license, when they leave out that driveway, all you can depend on is what you taught them and hoping that they'll have a good mindset on that road and trusting God. Listen, whenever my kids got my license, we were deciding whether or not we were going to let them go to Tyler one day. And I told my wife, I said, listen, I'm not going to live like that. I trained them kids. I screamed in that passenger seat and went like a wild, crazy man long enough so I given them everything I got. I told them everything I know, and what I'm going to do is trust God. I'm going to stand flat-footed on the Word of God and say this, Lord, they belong to You. I have given them to You. I'm going to do everything I can, but I can't put them in a bubble all their life. Amen. I've got to learn to trust the Lord. Do everything that you can do and trust God. Fear of loss. Of course, some people fear financial loss, whether from a lost job or a failed investment. Number two, there's the fear of failure. Now, I'm telling you, most fears fall into one of four of these categories. Fear of failure, number two. A lot of people would like to tackle some challenge, move into some great endeavor, but they're afraid of failure. They just don't believe that they can do it. They just don't believe. They know that God can do it through people. They just don't believe that God can do it through them. Listen, more people have stopped and not done the will of God because they were afraid of failure. Their mind went back to some time in the past where they tried and they failed. That's why I teach these young people. Listen, I don't care how difficult it is. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care if you don't like it. You need to learn to overcome whatever you're facing so that thing is in your mind that I am an overcomer. If every time you face something, you want to withdraw, you want to run, you want to escape it, it'll be like a claw in your brain that you're going to fail in every area. No, you may not be the smartest, you may not be the most talented, but if you got some grit and if you got some drive in your spirit, you can overcome. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I don't need to be afraid of failure. What I need to do is trust God and go for it. Are you with me today? Trust God. What's the worst that can happen? Be not afraid of them that can kill the body, and after that they have no more that they can do. But fear him after he hath killed the body, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him, Jesus said. Number three, fear of rejection. Many of us fear rejection and abandonment. I've known perfectly good-looking, decent guys who would not ask a girl out because they just thought that they weren't good enough. You know what? What's the worst that you could happen? I struck gold. I mean, I don't believe in playing the lottery, but, you know, I just believe. I said, what's the worst that can take place? And that's just the way it is. What's the worst that can take place? Listen, I know whenever my friend that I grew up with in Mississippi saw me and my wife the first time, the first year of our marriage, we were in Mississippi. He looked at me, he looked at her. He said, you must have caught her on a rebound. I wasn't afraid of rejection. What's the worst that could take place? Listen, number four, fear of the unknown. Most of us dread not knowing what lies ahead, and we're afraid to take that step of faith. We're afraid of what tomorrow will be. Listen, you cannot fear the unknown because God is in the midst of the unknown. He is around the corner everywhere you go. Listen, yea, though I walk, David said, through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, it comforts me. Oh, listen to me today. He did not fear evil because he knew the God who created the heavens and the earth, who breathed oxygen inside of his lungs. Listen, we ought to recognize just for a minute the kind of God that we serve. We need not fear the unknown. Listen, the unknown. What if I get sick with some serious illness? Or what if this happens, that happens to the person I love? People worry about things they cannot control. What if I lose my job? What's going to happen in the future? What if no one truly loves me? What if I never get married? These thoughts will consume you and drive you out of a place of waiting on God, hearing God's voice, into doing things you ought not do. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I don't believe in lagging behind, but I don't believe in getting ahead of God either. I believe in following that cloud, watch that cloud, and move with that cloud. When that cloud stops, stop. But when it moves, we need to move. God is going somewhere. And if we'll stay under that cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night, man is going to fall down. Provisions are going to be there. Listen, wherever the cloud is, the provisions are. Wherever God is, miracles always take place. We need not lag behind or get ahead of God. I want to remind everyone in this house today where these fearful thoughts come from. Again, Paul said, God hath not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You got to remind yourself where the thoughts come from. You say, well, Brother Matt, I'm just using good common horse sense. I understand that. I understand, you know, not doing things you ought not do, having some good common sense. I understand just good old, that I believe as Brother Taylor said, that 10th spiritual gift is good old common horse sense. Amen? But I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about doing something stupid. But what I am saying is this. God wants us to believe Him and trust in Him. If you're always worried, always anxious, always overwhelmed, living paralyzed, then you need to realize this important truth. Fear comes from the enemy. And fear is the opposite of biblical faith. Let me say that again. Fear is the opposite of biblical faith. But fear has a faith element to it. Let me explain. How can fear have a faith element? I didn't say it was a biblical faith, but listen, I have faith that when I get out in that car, I drive that Toyota to the store, I'm going to get to the store and get back. You know, there's a natural faith here. But I'm not talking about a spiritual faith in the unknown. I'm talking about just a natural faith. And fear has an element to this. Fear has that faith element. How? It's simply faith in the wrong things. You can have faith in the wrong things. Fear is placing your faith in the what ifs rather than God is. Did you hear me? I said fear has a faith element to it. It's just, when you're fearful, you're putting your faith in the what ifs. What if this happens? And what if that happens? And oh no, if I do this and this and this and this. And I'm going to tell you something, you'll go halfway crazy. It's putting your faith, fear is putting your faith in the what ifs instead of God is. Listen, God is a rewarder. God is the final authority. God is eternal. God's word will never change. Listen, everything the devil comes with us to, whenever he comes and attacks you, it's always in the form of a question. But I can tell you, when God speaks, it's appeared in an explanation point. When God speaks, it is something that is settled in heaven. God's word is settled. His truth is settled. Stop listening to the what if questions. What if this happens and what if that happens? It'll drive you out of your mind. What you need to do is get back to the word of God. Latch hold of the horns of the altar. Listen, faith still comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When you get the word of God inside of you, you can stand in the midst of the greatest turmoil, the greatest trials, and you and I can have faith to believe that everything's going to be all right. I got a feeling deep down in my soul, everything's going to be all right. Why do I know this? Why do I feel this? Because I know the God in whom holds the future in His hands, and I know that God loves me, and God loves you. God loves us. It's simply faith in the wrong things. It's allowing your imagination to wander down a long, dark alley of possibilities, and you'll get mugged every couple of steps. What if you're getting mugged every couple of steps by the enemy? What if this happens? And what does the what if do? Every time it paralyzes you into doing nothing. That's what the what if does. What if this happens? Well, I better stay. I better just be safe. Listen, I'm a conservative, but I want to tell you something. When it comes to the kingdom of God, I'm giving everything because I may not be here next year. I'm not going to save it for my latter years in 10, 15, 20 years of ministry. I'm going to sell out lock, stock, and barrel. I'm going to preach like a dying man preaching to dying people. I'm going to do everything I can to serve this Christ, to move out of my comfort zone, to believe God. Listen, if your dream isn't big enough where it scares you, your dream ain't big enough. If your dream isn't so big that it doesn't frighten you a little bit, it's not big enough, and you need to dream a little bit more. Why? Because God is a God who wants to reach this world for Christ. He wants to reach your neighbor. He wants to reach your coworker. He wants to reach everybody in your family. He wants to save, sanctify, and fill your children with the Holy Ghost. He wants tongues of fire to rest upon them. Oh, come on. God doesn't want to do something small. God God wants to do something big. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up and preached, 3,000 men got saved, and then 5,000. I'm telling you, God cares about humanity. And stop limiting yourself. Why? Because it's not you, it's the God in you, and all things are possible to them that believe, whatever it is. Listen, stop worrying about the what ifs. It's time for us to dream big in the things of God. Listen, I heard Clint Denon say many years ago that he don't believe that whenever Joshua was fighting and the Israelites with and the sun was going down. You remember whenever he said, "Sun, stand still"? Brother Clint Denon, I believe this. He said, "I don't believe God told Joshua to say that. It was his faith activated. Sun, stand still. We need some more daylight to whoop this enemy." And what happened? The sun stood still. Oh, it's time. Listen, I'm a classical Pentecostal. I'm not one of them crazies. Now, I can get a little crazy. I believe in the demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God. I believe in divine healings. I still believe in casting out devils. I still believe in tongues of fire. But oftentimes, classical Pentecostals, listen, we stick to the Word of God. We stay with that book. Amen. I'm going to stay with this book. But let us not ever forget that we serve a supernatural God, and he's still a God of miracles right here, right now. And don't allow the fear to choke you into doing nothing, into paralyzing you. Oh, I'm afraid that if this happens, what's going to take place? Do you know who wrestled with the what if question? Moses wrestled with the what if question. Moses had fear around his neck trying to choke him. The first time that Moses met God out in that wilderness, he had been in that backside of that Arabian desert for 40 years. God was trying to teach him something. And then the Lord appeared unto Moses in the form of a burning bush, but that bush was not consumed. It might not have been so unusual to see a bush consumed with fire out in the wilderness, but what was unusual was that bush was not consumed. It was not destroyed. And all of a sudden, God spoke to Moses out of that bush. You know the story. And he had that interaction right there. And he told Moses right there in that wilderness, "I'm going to send you to Egypt to set my people free." God's speaking to the man to do something that's impossible in the natural. He didn't feel qualified. And here's what he says, in essence, in Exodus 4 and 1. He says, "What if they do not believe me? What if they don't believe that I am who you say that I'm supposed to be?" You know, a lot of young preachers struggle with this. When they first get called to preach, they're wondering, is God going to use me? Are they going to believe that I'm the mouthpiece of God? Are they going to believe that I'm really called of God? Let me tell you something. You've got to activate that faith. You know, when people are seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know, oftentimes you think that it's going to happen one way and it's something altogether different. I can tell you, when the Holy Ghost hit me in 1996, I was raised in the Assemblies of God. I wanted the baptism of the Holy Ghost if it was real. I felt like it was real. I got saved in 1996. 3 days later, I'm in my house and I said, "Lord, I need an empowerment. I need the infilling of the Spirit if it's real." And suddenly out of my belly flowed a river of living water, and I began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. I couldn't stop. But it was an element of faith that had to be activated. Listen, God can hit you. He can do whatever he wants to do. But the way God operates through the people of God is through faith. You got to make that step. Do you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost? You know that according to the Word of God, it's his perfect will, after you have been washed in the blood, to empower you with his Spirit. You've got to know in your heart and in your mind that when you come to an old-fashioned altar, God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. That is his perfect will. And when you know that, it gives you a confidence to come down there. Whenever you believe the Word of God, it gives you a confidence. And whenever you hear that in your mind and you feel that rumbling in your belly, you can begin to operate in faith. And God will meet that faith at the point of the miraculous. And you will get filled with the sweet Holy Ghost of God. That's how God works in the miraculous. Moses struggled. Well, they really believe that God sent me. So many Christians in general struggle with this what if question. The what if, the what if, the what if. And I can tell you, many of you have struggled with this all week today, or this week. The what if. I want to do this, but what if? I want to go this direction, but what if? I want to believe God for this, but what if? I want to do this with my finances, but what if? Oh, come on. Listen, if you would just operate in faith when God speaks to you, I'm going to tell you, God will bless you coming in, and he will bless you going out. Listen, I'm going to tell you, but without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God. You need to get this chokehold of fear. Listen, get him off of you. Start believing God's word. What we need to do is recognize God knows what he's doing and trust him. You mean to tell me that God did this to me? If God did not do it to you, God allowed it to happen. And what's the difference? Well, James says that God cannot be tempted with evil. That means that whenever temptation, something that's unbiblical, something that goes against the holiness of God comes your way, that's just the process of life. We have an adversary that's tempting us constantly. We have a flesh. My old carnal mind, it can be bad all by itself. And that's just the way it is. That's why we got to crucify this thing. So God cannot be tempted with evil. But I can tell you, he allows evil to come our way. And he didn't allow it to overtake us. He didn't want for it to overtake us. But he's given us a power. He's given us a strength to overcome every attack and every onslaught of the enemy of our soul. And we've got to know this. That God knows what he's doing. Somebody just get it in your spirit this morning that God knows what he's doing. He may have just allowed it to happen, or he may have directly allowed it to come your way, because he sees the big picture. God sees the big picture. And oftentimes, situations have to take place to wake us up, to stop us dead in our tracks, whatever it is. Why? Because God's got a bigger plan, but we got to hear his voice. We got to get in tune with him. Listen, please hear me today. When you have persistent fear in a given area of your life, it can be an indicator that you are not depending on God to handle it. I'm not saying that you're backslid, but I want to say this. Unbelief and fear go hand in hand. Unbelief and fear go hand in hand, and unbelief in the word of God is a sin against God. We have to trust God. Listen, if you pray, but whenever you keep worrying about it, your actions are communicating, sure, I prayed, but God, I just don't believe you're going to do it. We would never verbalize that, would we? We'll come down to the altar. We'll pray for this situation. We'll just keep seeking the Lord, and we'll pray and we'll pray, and then we start talking about it as if we don't believe God. We got to be very, very careful. If we pray and believe God, let's speak the words of life. Listen to me. I don't believe in that you can just speak things into existence, but come on, we serve a supernatural God here. I don't want to hear 10 spies come back from that land of Canaan and give a bad report. No, no, no. I ain't going to believe that report. I'm going to believe what God said in the first place. Listen, I don't want to hear negativity. I don't want to hear God can't. We're in trouble. No, no, no. I can't went out the window on the day of Pentecost. Oh, come on, church. I said, I can't went out the window on the day of Pentecost, for I can through Christ. Or if you worry that something bad might happen to your children, you're essentially telling God, I really don't think you'll take care of my kids. I don't believe that your plan and your purposes will come through for my children. That's what we're saying. So for my part, I'm going to contribute by worrying. One lady said, you know something? Don't you ever tell me. This is what this lady said. Don't you ever tell me worrying don't work. She said, I've been worried about something all day long, and it didn't happen. So it must have worked. That's how people really think. They think that if they worry enough about something, they're helping God out. Listen, you're not helping God out. You're stopping the hand of God, because God does not operate in any other area yet by faith. Let's just get real. Harvest Time Church, it's time to face our fears. It's time to face these anxious spirits that are consuming our mind. And you say, well, mine's a little bit different than theirs. I understand. We all have different fears, but God didn't give you that. I say we all have different fears, but God didn't give you that. The devil tried to put that on you to paralyze you, but we're going to unlock the chokehold of fear this morning. Are you with me? And the only way to do that is to allow God to lead you by His Spirit, to receive the Word of God, to stand flat footed on truth and say, God, I'm going to believe you. Like Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I love those three Hebrew boys. I love them. They stood before King Nebuchadnezzar. There was a command to bow to that 90-foot image and worship. Can you imagine all throughout that land, when the music played, all those instruments, everybody bowed and you could hear the worship. But in the midst of thousands and thousands of people, whenever that music played, only three boys stood erect. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That makes you appreciate the name of Gary and Bill and Ted. They stood erect. They stood erect. They refused to bow down. They were brought immediately to King Nebuchadnezzar. You know the story. He was furious when he found out that somebody rebelled against him. And they said to him, this is one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament. Basically, they said, we're not going to bow to your image of gold. He said, well, you know you're going to get cast into the burning fiery furnace. And here's what they said. Our God, in whom we serve, is able to deliver us. That's a positive side of faith. That's the positive side. That's a side that I like to hear. That's the side that we're saying, listen, God's a healer. I'm believing in Him. I'm speaking healing for my body. I'm speaking salvation for my children. I'm going to believe God. But here's what they said that caused discouragement to come to the devil. They said, our God and whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if not, we're still not going to bow down, devil. I'm going to tell you something. Whenever you make up your mind, there ain't nothing that's going to deter me from God. If my family leaves me, I'm going on with God. If everybody turns against me, I'm going on with God. If the pastor, if the whole staff backslides, I'm going to keep my mind on Him. I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to back down to the devil. I'm not going to bow to the false images of this world. You and I have got to allow faith to rise up within us. Oh, He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Somebody needs to let the chokehold of fear be released off of you today. That causes discouragement for the devil. No matter what you bring my way, I'm keeping my eyes upon Him. It may hurt my heart. I may get discouraged. I may have to pray through. I may need the brothers and sisters of Christ to wrap their loving arms around me. I may need somebody to nurse me back to health. But I'm going to keep my mind on you, Lord. I'm going to stand flat-footed on the Word of God. Listen, I'm not strong enough in myself. Are you with me? I can't do this thing by myself. But I can tell you through Christ, I can do anything. If I stand on His Word, God will not fail me. When I was about 22 years old, this is applicable, what I'm about to tell you, in every situation. I said, don't lag behind and don't get ahead. I was about 22 years of age. I was so afraid. I mean, there was nobody in the church. I mean, there were girls, but they just weren't sold out. I was nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. I didn't know. I didn't know where she would be. And there's a temptation to move out of waiting on God and to push something through and to do something that you know is not the will of God. I want to tell you, I waited and God brought it to pass in time. And it's all about in His time. Was there an element of waiting and faith that had to be activated? Absolutely. Was there fear that I had to push back? Was there anxious thoughts? Were there lonely thoughts? Was I wondering, am I doing the right thing? Absolutely, positively. But I had to go back to the Word. I had to know that God has a plan for my life, and God cares more about me than I could ever imagine. And somebody in this house needs to know this. You say, well, I'm getting a little anxious. Listen, I want to tell you who got a little anxious. Sarah and Abraham got a little anxious. God made them a promise that they were going to have a child in their own old age. Several years went by, no child is born. Abraham, I don't know that this happened, but he might have looked at his wife one day. Did God really say that to us? Abraham, you know He did. Time went by. They stood on His word. The word that God promised them. Time went by, and doubt started to creep in again. That chokehold of fear tried to wrap around their neck and take their life. There came a time, instead of waiting on God, they decided to put matters in their own hands and help God out. No, they weren't in their minds. They weren't just deviating from God's plan. They were helping God out. I'm going to tell you something. God don't need your help. The only thing He needs you to do is obey His voice. I can tell you, anytime that we move outside of waiting and obeying, we don't help God out. We're deviating from His plan and going the wrong direction. Wait upon the Lord. You say, well, I'm so lonely. I'm here to tell you, if you will wait upon the Lord, you'll move into the perfect will of God. But if you take matters into your own hands in any area, you are going to live in a wilderness, and you'll never know what might have been. You'll never know the plan of God in your life. Listen, faith is all about waiting and trusting in hearing His voice. When bad news comes, how will you respond? Let me ask you like this. When bad news comes, whose report will you believe? Are you going to believe the enemy's report? Or are you going to believe the report of the Lord? Can a piano player come? Isaiah 53:1. Who hath believed our report, Isaiah says. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We must choose to believe the report of the Lord. Listen, the Bible gives us a constant command. You know what that constant command is? Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. I got a word for somebody in this house. This is a prophetic word. Fear not. Fear has gripped you. I know it has. The Spirit of the Lord spoke this so strongly to me. I had a message to preach, and I went a completely different direction this morning. The Spirit of the Lord dealt with me to change it this morning. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that somebody's tormented in this house. You've been tormented by the what if question. You've been tormented about what if this happens and what if that doesn't happen. Listen, God, if you'll just stay in Christ, if you'll keep that intimate relationship with Him and trust Him, don't move out of His perfect plan. You say, well, if He hasn't done it in this amount of time, I'm going to do something. You don't put requirements on God like that. Your timing is not His timing. Wait upon the Lord. Today is your day to unlock the chokehold of fear. We're either going to be warriors are warriors. You cannot be the same thing. You got to either be a worrier and fret or a warrior.